The glow of the sun appears above the Earth's curved surface. The Earth and the Moon rest among a layer of clouds and stars. A lion-shaped constellation shines at the center of the universe. Reflective silver letters float among clouds, Lionsgate. The sun shines through the letters. A gold ring descends. Gold Circle Films. The sun sets behind a row of black trees. A fence gate opens up to a field. An old dinner bell is held up by a rotten post. The silhouette of a robed figure walks through the forest. A chain-link swing swings from a willow branch. A black-haired woman stands in the woods. Cut to black. Lionsgate and Gold Circle Films present a Gold Circle Films production. The Haunting in Connecticut 2, Ghosts of Georgia. Based on the true story. A woman sits cross-legged on a bed, twiddling her fingers and staring at a window with the blinds half open. White sunlight bleeds into the decorated but cluttered bedroom. Two blue pills sit on her nightstand beside a prescription bottle and a glass, June 14, 1993, Atlanta, Georgia. She turns her head left and looks to the corner where a shrouded figure stands wearing a gown. The image momentarily becomes black and white and jitters. The woman's swollen red eyes stare as the figure approaches.
I love you, Lisa. I love you, Lisa. I love you so much. Listen to me, Lisa.
Listen to me, Lisa.
The gowned woman warps closer. Lisa downs the blue pills and stares forward, tears running down her cheeks.
I have something to tell you.
She glances to the woman in the corner. She lies down.
Mama?
Okay.
A little girl stands at her bedside clutching a teddy bear. Lisa looks to the empty corner.
What are you doing up, sweetie?
They lie facing one another.
Did you have another bad dream?
I dreamed about a swing. Is there one at the new house?
What if there isn't? I bet your daddy might just put one up for you. Come on, let's go get some breakfast, okay? I'll meet you there.
The girl scampers out and Lisa looks to the corner, now in sunlight. She gets out of bed. A sedan cruises, June 16, 1993, Pine Mountain, Georgia.
What does your new house look like?
It's way out in the country, and there's just lots of room for you to play.
Can we bring my bike?
Of course we can bring your bike, sweetie.
Even though I don't know how to ride it yet.
You are going to have lots of places to learn how to ride your bike.
A man waits by a truck outside the house.
Hey! Howdy!
Lisa leans on the car while they embrace.
You done good, Daddy.
Well, thank you. What about you, huh? What do you think?
We lived there before.
Nobody, honey. That's why the bank gave us such a good deal, right?
Well, thank you, Mom.
He looks at a rusted RV.
Maybe you'd rather live in there.
No.
That could be arranged.
Oh, thank you.
You'd have the whole place to yourself.
Nope.
Daddy Bear could have his own room.
Mom, let's go. I'll raise you.
Come on. Lisa runs up the porch steps, followed by Heidi. Later, the girl sets stuffed animals on her bedroom shelf. A radio sits in the kitchen.
Oh, what the hell, baby? Can't find a clear station in that, huh?
You're out in the boondocks, babe. We're lucky we get running water. Thank you.
Well, we don't need water. That's what beer's for.
Mm-hmm.
This is my beer,
Mm-mm.
by the way.
Mm-mm. Mm-hmm.
She stops chugging the beer, and they turn to the closed pantry door. Lisa's husband grabs the handle and looks back to her. She raises her eyebrows. They recoil from a raccoon, and Lisa's husband throws a box. The raccoon crawls outside through a hole.
You think that's funny, do you?
Heidi sticks butterfly stickers to her bedroom window pane. She spots a dark blur walking through the yard beyond the glass. She looks behind her as the bedroom door swings slightly. She looks out the window. A man with a blurred face stands in the yard wearing a black hat and suit. The view flickers in black and white, and he disappears.
Hey, Joyce!
A redhead pulls up in a convertible.
Joyce!
And you grow like a weed!
Hi.
Hi, good day, Miss Homeowner.
That didn't take long. No suitcase?
I'm not a freeloader, Andy.
Not today or historically.
Stop it, Andy. Joyce is just here to wish us well.
Is that so?
Suitcases fill her trunk.
It's goddamn cursed being right all the time. It truly is.
Lisa shoots Joyce a disappointed look. At night, they drink beer on the porch.
It didn't work out with Ray.
Was he the married one or the drunk?
Bit of both, turns out.
What about you? Are you,
11 weeks sober.
Shit. Call again. Oh, no, I'm saying it's
Heidi gapes at the abandoned RV across the yard, setting her teddy aside. A woman stands in the back window.
I've got alimony coming in. I want to be near family.
Well, find a place near here, just not here.
Who lives over there?
See, that's just some old wreck someone left behind. I'm going to haul it away.
A girl lives down there.
Nobody lives around here, baby.
When'd you see a girl?
Just now.
Lisa's eyes shift.
You know, I've lived in worse. Near here, but not here, right?
You did say that, babe.
Heidi watches a figure walk from the mobile home. Later, Lisa carries trash bags down the porch steps. She puts one in a can beside the house. She looks to the dark woods, then grabs the next bag. She drops the bag and stares again. She grabs a rake and marches toward the woods, hefting it like a club. She peers into a bush. She rakes the bush. A rotted corpse stares out from inside. She steals herself.
Stop it.
She looks inside the shrub. The corpse is gone. Her face crumples.
Mama? Why are you crying?
It's nothing, sweetie. It's nothing. And Joyce is out front, so go say goodnight. And I'll come tuck you in, okay?
With a knitted brow, Heidi walks away. Lisa turns and clenches her face.
Mama's crying. Do you know why she gets sad?
Heidi sits on a porch swing with Joyce.
Your mama gets feelings sometimes. Feelings she doesn't much care for.
What kind of feelings?
Tell you what, I want you to try something for me. Can you do that? Look out there.
She points to the woods.
At what?
Don't really focus on anything specific. Just take it all in.
Heidi gazes to the moonlit canopy and shuts her eyes.
Feel anything?
I think so.
Figures flash.
And sometimes...
the man with the black hat looms.
I see things.
That's because you were born with a veil, sweetie. Just like your mama and me and our mama.
What's a veil?
It means that when you were born, you had a sheen over your face like a wedding veil. And sometimes folks born that way have a gift. They can sense certain things that other people can't.
Mama ever said anything about it?
Your mama doesn't like this kind of talk of gifts and feelings. So let's just keep this conversation between us, okay? Now run to bed, please.
Heidi kisses her.
Love you.
I love you too.
She walks off and Joyce's expression becomes troubled. Sunlight glints through the overlapping branches of trees. Gnats swarm in the warm rays of light. A freestanding tub sits in a dim bathroom, Lisa's prescription bottle on a chair beside it. She lies in the fetal position, half submerged in shallow water. She side-eyes the ceiling line. Her eyes shut. She looks in the same direction, a vein bulging in her brow. The gowned woman sits on the edge of the tub, peering down at her.
I know, Mama.
Listen to me, Lisa.
The ghost brushes the water.
Just be a good girl.
Lisa nods tensely.
And listen to your mother. Listen to me!
Blood pours from Mama's hand and she floats away.
Lisa!
6 a.m. How long you been in here this time?
Andy kneels.
You saw something again, didn't you? Here.
He hands her a towel.
If these pills ain't working, we sure as hell shouldn't keep paying for them.
They're working. It just gets a little tricky when they wear off, is all. You should finish getting dressed. You'll be late for work.
All right, I'll...
He kisses her forehead and walks out. He wears a Department of Corrections uniform jacket. Outside, Heidi walks her bike by the porch.
Careful, Heidi. Need any help?
I can do it.
Okay.
Lisa enters the house with grocery bags. Heidi climbs onto the purple bicycle and walks it on her tiptoes. June 22, 1993. Heidi struggles to keep the bike upright. The bike gets rolling. She finds her balance and cruises shakily down the driveway. She gawks at a black-haired woman wearing a baggy frock and loses control. Heidi falls to the dirt. The sunlight disappears as a figure shadow looms over her. She peers up as the man in the hat leans his elderly bearded face toward her. Joyce pulls into the driveway, stopping at the collapsed bike. She looks around the area, then puts the car in park. She walks the bike to the house.
Hey, neighbor.
Heidi's been gone an hour, and I don't know where she is.
Well, she's probably just wandering.
Heidi is not a wanderer.
And that's because she's never had anywhere to wander to. Now she does. You're just going to have to get used to it.
Heidi, baby, where have you been? I've been worried sick.
I'm not supposed to say.
Who said that?
Damn it, Heidi. Who told you that?
Mr. Gordy.
Lisa looks to Joyce, who shakes her head.
Who's Mr. Gordy?
An old man I met. He said there's a sphinx in the woods, just like in my dream. Remember, Mama?
Okay. Okay, come here.
Lisa hugs her.
Joyce, get Andy on the phone.
Heidi leads the adults to a weeping willow.
This is it. Mr. Gordy told me there's a swing here.
Well, babe, I don't see a swing.
I'll be damned. There may not be a swing here now, but there used to be.
Looking up at chains, he steps into a hole.
Jesus.
Walk much? Babe, did this, Mr. Gordy say anything else to you?
He said there's money buried in the garden.
Okay. Sweetie, I want you to do something for me.
How much money?
If this Mr. Gordy ever comes up to you again, I want you to scream as loud as you can. You understand me? Okay. Let's go.
The girls walk away, and Andy wrenches his sunken foot. At night, Lisa washes a plate in the kitchen sink. She sets it in a caddy and washes another, her face reflected in the dark window. The light above her flickers and she taps the bulb. She turns it and flinches as the bulb goes out. A figure dashes past outside and she reaches slowly for the window. The light comes on. Lisa recoils at her reflection. She shuts off the radio. She pops a pill and downs it with a glass of water. She slowly raises her head to meet her reflection. The pantry door drifts open and she looks over. She walks to the door and cocks her head at the moonlit hole in the pantry wall. She returns to the sink. Mr. Gordy's silhouette moves behind her and she turns, peering into the dark. She turns and looks to the room's entrance.
Andy?
She walks to the porch door. Andy and Joyce's car sit in the driveway. She steps onto the porch and looks from right to left, scanning the area. She scans the edge of the forest. The black-haired girl stands behind her. Lisa turns to see Heidi disappear around a corner. Lisa follows her.
I'm not supposed to talk to you. They think you're a bad man. You're not. Are you?
Heidi?
Heidi turns from her bedroom window. Lisa nods toward the bed and Heidi climbs in. Lisa looks to the open window.
Was that Mr. Gordy you were talking to?
Outside, Joyce crouches beside Andy, who digs. Mr. Gordy watches them from the forest.
Heidi, why didn't you tell us that you had an imaginary friend?
Mr. Gordy's not imaginary. He talks to me.
I was standing right there watching. There's nobody outside.
Mr. Gordy's real.
Heidi, stop it. I don't want to hear any more talk about this. Mr. Gordy, do you understand? Seeing things that aren't there, it's just not a road that you want to go down. Good night, okay?
Lisa strides through the house to the porch. She advances on the diggers.
What the hell, Joyce? You've been here a week and Heidi's already seen invisible friends. Turns out that's Mr. Gordy. He's up here. And you, encouraging her, coming out here, digging up my garden, going on some
wild goose chase.
He opens a chest, takes out coins, and lets them drop through his fingers. Grinning, Joyce tosses one to Lisa, who turns the antique coin over in her hand. In the kitchen, Lisa fidgets beside her pill bottle and an empty glass.
Don't be afraid.
Flashback, her mother by the tub. She kicks the porch door open and crosses her arms as she leans against a pillar, staring out at the forest. She shuts her eyes in concentration and her bottom lip trembles. In a vision, a tall, dark figure, bald and wearing a robe, approaches from a black and white forest. The creature bears its maw in Lisa's face, staring with black eyes sunken in leathery skin. It disappears and she heads inside. June 24th, 1993. Joyce pulls up to the mobile home, car loaded with shopping bags. Lisa approaches from the house.
Good Lord, woman. What'd you do, wrap a shopping haul?
Courtesy of my new sugar daddy, Mr. Gordy. Did you tell Hattie where the money came from?
No. And neither will you. I'm sure there's lots of stuff buried in these parts. It doesn't mean that there's a Mr. Gordy.
I beg to differ. Did you look at the deed to your house, the previous owner?
Yeah, the bank owned it.
Before that, check it out. Straight from the county assessor. Look at the name at the bottom. The Gordy family owned all this land going back 200 years. And this J.S. Gordy was the last one. Then the bank got it in the 70s.
Ask me how they got it.
Joyce lays out photos.
Okay, you're gonna get one shot at this, all right?
This doesn't go the way I think it's gonna go. I'll never bring it up again.
Deal.
Hattie, come out here a second.
Lisa covers Gordy's obituary with a towel, then Heidi scampers in.
I am looking for a husband for you.
They're all old. You marry them.
Good girl.
Okay, pick a winner for me, but look at them all carefully first. Can you do that?
Heidi scans the photos of elderly men. Her smile fades and her jaw slackens when she sees Mr. Gordy's. Concern crosses Lisa's face. Joyce scrutinizes Heidi.
See something, Heidi?
Joyce shoots Lisa a glance when the girl picks up Gordy's photo.
You know that man?
Heidi gives Lisa an accusatory look and leans to Joyce.
That's Mr. Gordy.
Okay.
I told you he was real. I told you and you didn't believe me.
Heidi storms out, leaving Lisa glassy-eyed. Joyce looks down as Lisa glares at her. Lisa pulls the towel from the obituary, which reads 1901 to 1978 with a photo cutout. Lisa crumples it. Lisa storms out and Joyce rolls her neck, then follows to find her seated on the porch.
My daughter is not conversing with the dead.
She picked Mr. Gordy's face out of 50 pictures. Explain that.
That's just your influence coming out in her. You know what? I don't want you talking about any of this with Heidi anymore, you hear me? She's my daughter. She can talk about it with me.
Why would she? You don't listen. You just tell her what's what, just like you did with me.
You needed it. You know what? You still do.
I suppose I'd be better off numbing myself with pills.
Stop it.
What, you don't think I know? That was Mama's trick, too. And that worked out beautifully for her.
Joyce, go home.
There is nothing wrong with Heidi. You know what it is, Lisa. It's starting for her.
Lisa stares off. Joyce rolls her eyes and walks off the porch. Lisa looks after her. Wind blows the curtains in Heidi's room.
Honey? You awake?
Lisa stands in the doorway looking at her daughter, who lies still. She walks out. Hugging her teddy bear, Heidi stares forward. She sees Gordy standing outside her window. July 7th, 1993. In the morning, a car approaches the house. Then a suited man sits in the living room.
When I hear of a family moving to town, I visit to see if they found the church yet, because I happen to preside over one.
Oh.
Folks around here have been wondering when this rather special piece of property would sell.
Yeah? What's special about it? I mean, aside from it being overgrown, it's all hell. Andy Wyrick.
Pastor Jordan Wells. The property is special because back around the time of the Civil War, it was the station master's land. But I'm sure you knew that.
What, like a railroad? No tracks on this land?
No, it wasn't that kind of railroad.
Do you mean like the underground railroad? Folks who helped escape slaves make it up north? Wow.
That's right. Those people were known as station masters. And one of the most well-known lived right here on your land.
He actually hid slaves on our property?
Yes, ma'am. Hundreds of men, women, and children passed right through here with nothing but the clothes on their back and the light of the moon to guide them.
They didn't have flashlights?
Oh, no, sweetie. They couldn't even use lanterns. The moonlight was the only light that they ever saw. It was the light of freedom in the promised land. The station master was an extraordinary man. Entire generations of families would not exist if it was not for the station master and this piece of land. So, don't be surprised if you get visitors from time to time.
Living ones, I hope.
As opposed to...
Andy's just having a little fun.
I do that.
Well, if you do get any visitors, I hope you'll be more welcoming than the previous owner, J.S. Gordy, was. He didn't exactly share his ancestors' hospitable nature. Between you and me, there was something seriously off about that man.
Mr. Gordy's nice to me.
Oh, look, Pastor.
Sweetie.
We better get our day started.
Heidi glares at Pastor Wells, whose brow furrows. Under the full moon, Joyce exits the mobile home and takes laundry off a rotary clothesline. A figure looms in the woods beyond the rotating garments. Joyce freezes and looks into the dark woods. She returns her attention to the line, then stops again. A lantern burns in the forest. Joyce steps around the rotary to get a better look. She walks into the woods, approaching the lantern, which sits atop a hand-woven quilt covering a rectangular structure. As she reaches for the lantern, its flame extinguishes. She looks to the canopy, then turns back to it. She steps closer and brushes leaves from the bottom of the quilt before lifting the pattern and inspecting it. She looks at a red tree sewn into a yellow background. Her gaze whips up. Fog drifting through silhouettes of trees and vines catches the moonlight.
Hello?
A ghastly woman with gray highlights and black hair emerges. Joyce runs. Fog drifts low at the edge of the forest. Andy's pickup truck sits before the house. Heidi sleeps in her bed. The living room is dark and still. A shadow passes through it. Heidi's small body rises with slight breaths. The black-haired woman watches her from the hall. Wind blows the curtains and she rolls over in bed. Dawn breaks over the house, casting its light over the sleeping Heidi. The black-haired woman watches from the same position. She turns and walks away. Heidi sits on a bench staring across a field to the woods. Lisa watches her through the porch screen holding a cup of coffee. Lisa heads inside. Heidi stares forward, taking in her surroundings. She shuts her eyes. The canopy's colors dull as she focuses. Her eyes open and the colors sharpen. She tramps across the field toward the woods. Her mouth hangs open as she gawks at the towering trees and coarse bramble. She stops and scans the forest's edge. Gordy lays a hand on her shoulder.
Mr. Gordy, what is that? Tell me what it is.
The pale ghost stares.
Heidi!
Mr. Gordy!
Heidi! You know what? I think there is an invisible man around here. It's me. Did you miss your daddy?
Yeah.
Yeah? Right answer. Got a little surprise for you.
What is it?
Oh, you'll find out. Come on.
Look what I found in the back of your daddy's truck.
Heidi, meet Chief.
Oh, my God. Daddy!
Oh, am I the greatest father in the world or what? You'll do. Thank you.
Andy sits beside Lisa and embraces her while Chief licks Heidi's face. Later, Chief grows alert. He barks at the tree line. He glances frantically at the woods.
All right, remember to bring Chief's bowl back in the house after he's done.
Where's Chief?
God's sakes. Chief!
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 They run to the fence gate.
Damn dog.
Heidi looks worriedly from the woods to her father.
Come on. It'll be all right.
He takes her hand and leads her past the bench into the forest.
Chief!
Hurt.
Hey, Heidi, why don't you just sit down right here for a second? Okay, and don't move. Be right back. Chief!
Heidi's brow furrows over sad eyes as Andy heads deeper into the forest.
Hey! Come here, boy! Chief!
He finds Chief in a slatted box fashioned from wooden planks.
How'd you get in there, boy?
Spikes point inward at the trap's entrance.
Daddy.
Heidi looks around the clearing in the forest.
Heidi.
She bites her nails.
All right, watch out, boy.
He kicks a hole in the box. Chief darts out and runs into the woods. Andy watches him retreat, then spots Bones in the trap.
What the hell?
Daddy?
Heidi stands. She creeps into the thicket.
Heidi! Heidi!
Heidi enters a clearing where a tree swing sways, dangling from a large tree. she approaches the swinging plank attached to the tree by two chains. A man in white and gray disheveled clothes appears on the swing. Heidi dodges behind the tree trunk and looks again. No one. Heidi walks the clearing's perimeter. Heidi sees the black-haired woman in the light. She glares, wearing a dirty one-piece frock. The man sits on the tree swing. In a flash, he's replaced by a hooded person dangling by the neck from the tree swing's chains.
Oh, damn it!
Hey, I thought I told you to sit tight.
Hey, what are you hollering about over here?
As she hugs him tight, he spots a bit of chain swinging erratically from the branch. Andy glares at it as he carries her away.
Let's get you home.
Later, Andy pulls the trap out of the woods with a rope. Chief mills about the perimeter.
Hi, babe. Figure out what this thing is yet?
Yeah.
She gives him water.
It's a trap. You see, you bait that chamber there. Animals that get in, they can't get back out. They get weak and starve. Easy pickings. Then you get them back out through here. Back door.
There's gotta be a better way to hunt. And that's just cruel.
Not smart. I mean, you're a taxidermist. I already found three more of them in the woods. Reckon they make good money for someone back in. Well, whenever the hell they still use locks like these.
Well, smash them all up so Chief doesn't get stuck in them again. Or Hattie, for that matter.
She pats his back and walks away. At night, rain dots Heidi's window as she sleeps in bed. Lisa sleeps beside Andy. In a vision, the black-haired woman steps out of white fog. The willow flashes. A crowd of slaves turn, as does Heidi. The highlight woman goes limp in the standing tub. Slaves run through the woods. The black-haired woman gets closer. The black-haired woman sneers, and Lisa's eyes shoot open. Tree branches scratch the window pane at Lisa's back, and she rolls over. The black-haired woman leans over her.
Hey. What's going on, Mom?
Andy holds Lisa's head at his chest. Heidi lies wide-eyed in bed as two people scamper outside her window. July 22, 1993. Heidi talks to no one as Andy destroys a trap with an axe.
I have a bag. Do you? Oh. It's pretty. It's purpley. What do you mean? Really? People are coming? Kind of people.
Who are you talking to now?
Mr. Gordy.
Is that right? Well, ask him why there's more money.
I can't. He's gone.
Well, next time then.
Gordy strolls off.
Said there's people coming.
Who? I swear, Heidi, we should take you and Mr. Gordy on the road.
Who's there?
Stay behind me.
He hefts the axe as she takes cover.
I got an axe!
She watches as he advances. Gordy peers from the bushes.
Hello?
She follows him through the woods. They come to a clearing where the facade of an old cabin stands without a roof. In front of the structure is the wooden post with the dinner bell.
What the hell is this place?
Words painted next to where the door would be read, God bless the station master. A connected stone chimney stands twice as high as the facade. Andy and Heidi walk through the doorway and frown at memorials decorated with ribbons and candles. A gray-haired woman in mourning attire presses her face against the fireplace.
Do you see her too?
Yeah,
She turns, revealing glazed white eyes.
Mom, okay? Whoa. It's okay. My name's Prentice. This is my grandmother, Mama Kay. This your property?
That you're trespassing on, yes.
We were told we could come back here.
Yeah, bullshit, by who?
Woman in the trailer. Says she's your sister, sold us this.
The quilt.
Sister-in-law.
What is that?
The shoe fly. Prentice? Come now, help me sit on down. I want to visit with the little one. Come on, little one. Be all right, young man.
Heidi sits beside her.
All right, you gonna tell me why you came all the way out here just to buy some ratty old quilt?
Long time ago, when this quilt was hung out here in these woods, it meant it was safe to approach. Safe for home. Mama Kay's ancestors, for one. Mine, too. Do you even know where you living at, Mr.
Man?
They shake.
Our pastor said we might get visitors, something about an underground railroad.
This was one of the stations.
Andy glances at the facade.
Mama Kay's always wanted to visit this place.
Guy saved a lot of lives, I reckon.
And he deserved better than what happened to him.
You don't need eyes to see, little one. But you already know that.
What do you mean?
You asked your father if he saw me. But that makes you some kind of special.
My mama says I'm not supposed to talk about that.
But you have to be careful with a gift like that. Because sometimes the devil looks a gentleman.
Andy and Prentice walk under the willow.
You're telling me all that took place on my property?
Yes, sir. Right here. Guess your pastor left that part out.
Yeah.
Lisa and Joyce play cards as Andy and Heidi enter.
Family meeting.
Whoa.
Not you, kiddo. You stay outside for a bit, all right?
Okay, Daddy.
Sit down, Joyce.
Lisa looks curious. A sedan follows Heidi down the driveway. Lisa gives Heidi a bath.
That man told Daddy what happened here, didn't he? Why can't I know?
It's just not a story for little girls, sweetie.
I'm a big girl. You always say that.
You remember Pastor Wells talking about the station master? Well, back when he owned all this land, he was what's called a taxidermist. He also did something that he didn't tell anybody. He would help hide people who were in trouble. People like Mama Kay's great-aunt Nell and her fiancé, Levi. You see, Nell and Levi had fallen in love
and had dreams of getting married once they were safe and free.
How the hell did people even find their way out here?
There were guides called conductors who helped them. And these quilts, they were a code from the station master telling them where he'd meet them. Look here, you see this tree?
Yeah.
He points to the willow.
There it is, down there. The meeting place. The station master would come get him and take him to a hiding place somewhere on his property until it was safe to move on.
Well, some of the other landowners, they found out what the station master had been doing, and well, they didn't like it very much. So they did some very unkind things to him.
Men in white hoods put a hood on the station master, beat him, then stuff a chest wound with sawdust. They hang him from the willow.
They hurt him just for helping people?
They didn't see it that way, sweetie.
What happened to Nell? Did she make it up north?
Nell and Levi never arrived. No one knows what happened to them.
I told you something bad happened here.
Oh, it was a long time ago. All of that evil is over and done with now.
It's still here, Mama. I can feel it. It's in the woods. It's coming for me.
No, it's not. Heidi, it's all in your head. It's not real.
But Mr. Gordy said.
There is no Mr. Gordy. Heidi, listen to me. You have to fight this. You have to put it out of your head or...
I'll be like you.
Lisa cocks her head with a wounded expression, drops a towel beside the tub, and heads for the door.
Strath.
If you loved me, you'd believe me.
It's because I love you that I can't, baby.
Lisa sits in Heidi's bedroom folding laundry.
I don't hear you getting out of that tub. Heidi Weirich, don't make me come back in there.
She tosses a folded towel in the basket and walks to the bathroom.
Heidi, what is taking so long?
Lisa stands in the threshold as sconce lights flicker over the empty tub.
Heidi?
She creeps inside, spots the towel beside the tub, then looks into the bubbly water. The bald creature stands behind her. The lights illuminate, revealing Heidi's submerged body.
Oh my God, my God. Oh God. Oh. Okay. Come on, baby. Cut it up.
The lights flicker as Lisa does the Heimlich maneuver on her soaked daughter. Heidi vomits sawdust, maggots, and roaches. Andy rushes through the hospital.
Lisa! Heidi!
Andy! What happened?
She was convulsing and unconscious and vomiting sawdust and insects. Andy, are you on any medication, Mrs. Weirich?
You didn't see what I saw. I saw her.
You weren't there.
Heidi?
Do you remember any of this?
Yeah, baby.
I didn't dry off like I was supposed to. So Mama pulled me out of the tub real hard.
I'm sorry, that's not what happened.
They've been through enough for tonight. Come on.
He kisses Heidi, and the parents turn to the doctor.
Just tell me exactly what we're supposed to do here.
If you want my advice, I suggest you consult with a psychiatrist or a priest.
Thanks.
Andy.
Let's let Heidi rest up a sec.
He kisses her and steps out.
It's hard when people don't believe you. Isn't it?
Lisa gapes at her daughter. A sedan pulls up to the house.
Really, Lisa? We're possessed by the devil now.
Good Lord, people, it's a blessing, not an exorcism.
Please.
Jordan gets out.
Hi.
Lord, we pray this night for the soul of an innocent child and the banishment of evil from this land.
I want you to pray with me now. Can you do that?
Joyce twirls her hair as they join hands. Lisa grabs Joyce's hand and pulls her into the chain.
In the name of the Father, I ask for the cleansing of fear and sickness from the mind and the soul of this child. I ask that you fill Heidi with the warmth of your love into her heart, and that you call upon your angels to watch over her and protect her from danger.
Mom and Dad, would you lean down and lay her back for me, please?
Heidi lays in Andy's arms. Joyce watches figures dart through the woods.
In the name of the Son,
figures dart through the field past the family. The moon turns yellow, bathing Joyce in an amber glow. In a vision, Joyce sees the door to the original station house open. She watches a woman push a child on the tree swing. Refugees wearing tattered clothes form a crowd. The creature's silhouette approaches. The station master comes to the willow and leads the woman, child, and three freed slaves away.
I ask that you bless and all child in the name of the Holy Ghost.
Jordan pours holy water on Heidi's forehead. It becomes blood and roaches. Lisa looks to Joyce. Heidi and Lisa's flesh decomposes. Joyce backs away and collapses. The moon becomes white.
Hey, statement.
Heidi's eyes open. Lisa looks at her cowering sister.
Amen. Amen.
Heidi smiles at Joyce.
May God's love fill your heart, child, and give you peace for all of your days.
Now, that wasn't so bad, was it?
You did great.
Heidi lies in bed. Above her, paper stars dangle from strings. Heidi rolls over, eyes closed, and hugs her stuffed bear. Green foliage encloses the house, highlighted by the moonlight. In the dark kitchen, the light over the sink comes on. The radio sits on the counter. The light dies. Family photos adorn the dim living room. Yellow piano keys lie still. Someone watches Heidi from the hall. The highlight woman peers at her through the window over the headboard. The bedroom door shuts and opens. Heidi awakens. She sits up and peers through the cracked door into the dark hallway.
Mama?
Holding her brown stuffed bear, she creeps out of bed and approaches the hall. Heidi pushes the door open and steps through. A piano key presses. Heidi wanders to the living room doorway. Nell, the black-haired woman, walks backwards to the piano and stares at Heidi as she presses the key.
Pastor, take you away.
Nell crosses the room and exits. Heidi follows. A full moon appears from behind clouds, illuminating Nell in the field. Heidi steps onto the porch and watches her. Nell sets a doll on the field grass. The woman turns and walks toward the woods. Heidi runs through the fence gates into the field. Clouds cover the moon as she reaches the doll and picks it up. She inspects the doll's black hair and frock. Nell watches her from the forest's edge, then enters the woods. Heidi rushes after her. In the living room, the glass covering Heidi's photo cracks. Clouds cover the full moon. In black and white, a figure stands on the porch. The highlighted woman's face is gaunt.
Lisa!
Freed slaves stand together. Heidi's eyes are black. Mama Kay frowns. Heidi runs into the woods, then lies splayed on her back. Lisa shoots up in bed. She lies back down. A skeleton lies beside her. She awakens.
Andy. Daddy's gone.
What?
Call the cops.
He cocks a pistol and rushes out as she dials the phone. He looks to the woods, then sprints toward the trees. He finds Heidi's discarded teddy bear in the field.
Heidi!
He runs into the woods.
Heidi! Heidi! Heidi!
A cruiser pulls up.
Any sign of her yet?
No.
Joyce hugs Lisa.
Heidi!
He rushes into the station house.
Heidi!
Daddy!
Heidi!
Help me!
Where are you, baby?
Down in the hole!
He searches the ground.
What hole?
Daddy, here!
His flashlight's beam finds the hearth and he approaches. He pulls back a slab, revealing a hole under the fireplace. A square of light falls on Heidi in a subterranean area. Andy looks down at her.
Oh, Heidi!
I can't get up, Daddy! I can't get up!
Sit tight, Heidi. I gotta find a way to get down there, baby.
No.
As Andy searches above, Heidi looks around the dark chamber. A door opens and Heidi gapes at it.
Heidi!
Andy spots a chest and rushes to it. A decomposed hand holding a saw comes through the door.
Mr. Gordy, is that you?
Andy opens the chest and finds a rope ladder. The figure circles Heidi, who stands in a square of light hugging the doll.
Daddy!
The hole deepens. Andy watches as the shaft stretches to impossible depths.
Daddy!
Heidi turns around, surveying the dark chamber. A figure rushes past. Behind Heidi, a slave woman walks away. Andy attaches the ladder to a hook over the shaft. Figures circle Heidi. Rotted corpses flash. Andy attaches another hook. Heidi sees the creature watching her.
Heidi, heads up! Coming down!
Daddy, hurry!
Watch out!
Daddy!
I'm coming, though!
He kicks the ladder down the shaft and descends.
Heidi!
A rung snaps and Andy struggles. The ladder collapses and Andy falls.
Heidi.
He struggles to his feet and finds Heidi with the flashlight beam.
Daddy!
Heidi! Oh, Jesus.
They embrace.
How the hell did you get down here, baby, huh?
The hell?
This is where the station master hid him.
Nell and Levi's names are written on the wall.
Unbelievable. How the hell did you find this place hiding, huh?
The girl showed me.
Is that the one that you said was down here with you?
She points across the room and Andy shines his light on a pile of skeletons.
I think something else is down here too, Daddy. I don't want to be here anymore.
These two of us.
Cops search the chamber.
Most Pine Mountain residents know the story of the station master, who helped slaves escape to freedom as part of the Underground Railroad. But last night, a young local girl uncovered a sad, unknown chapter in the saga, right in her own backyard. What authorities believe are the remains of five males discovered in the underground chamber
beneath the ruins of the station master's cabin. Now, the station master, also known as Jefferson Gordy, was the great-grandfather of the late J.S. Gordy, who died in 1978.
For all the lives that were saved by the Underground Railroad, there were also many folks who didn't make it, just went missing. And today's discovery is a tragic reminder of how dangerous it really was. In this particular case, when the station master was murdered, there was no one to let the slaves out who were waiting.
Wait, please turn it off.
They probably starved to death down there. Reporting live.
You think that's Mama Kay's family?
I said five males, so I doubt it. Hey, what are you doing up?
Heidi sits beside Lisa.
I won't live here anymore.
It's all right now, Heidi. The things that we saw, they've moved on. Their spirits aren't trapped anymore because of you.
Joyce, please, spirits?
Don't you understand what's happened here, Lisa? Those people in the chamber wanted to be found. That's what this has all been about. Now they're free. And there's nothing to be afraid of anymore.
Mr. Gordy says it's not safe here.
You see Mr. Gordy tonight?
He said I shouldn't have gone down in that hole. He said I let something bad come out.
Okay, it is time for you to go back to bed.
Heidi pulls away.
Heidi Weirich, you follow me right now.
I can't be here anymore, Mama. I went in the hole and the bad man saw me. He knows we're here now. He's coming.
What bad man, sweetie?
The station master. I'll let him out, Mama.
Well, Mr. Gordy is wrong. Because you know very well that the station master was a good man.
No, he wasn't.
Andy, will you please tell her that there is nothing to be afraid of?
Mr. Gordy said there was money buried in the garden, Lisa, and there was. He said that something terrible happened here, it did. For something in Heidi's mind, Mr. Gordy sure as hell right along.
Are you telling me that suddenly you believe all this?
I believe there was a cave full of skeletons on our land, Lisa. Is there a bad man down there too? Hell if I know, but I said we pack up the truck and we haul our asses out of here before we find out.
Heidi?
Heidi follows Lisa out. Andy steps onto the porch. He taps a pillar and leans against it. He sips a can of beer and stares out at the forest. He jolts as the bug zapper shoots a spark. He walks inside. The creature stands at the edge of the porch in the shadows. Andy packs family photos into a box. Chief lies beside him.
Andy. I mean, you can't be serious. We don't have anywhere to go. I mean, where are we gonna go? Baby, I'm sick. Heidi and I,
You're fine. Heidi's fine. Tell me something. How the hell did Heidi get down in that hole? Even if she could move that slab, which she can't. It's a 25-foot drop after that. She didn't have a scratch on her. Did you ever think that maybe Joyce is right? Crazy Joyce. That this isn't some kind of disease, but I don't know, it's a gift?
A gift. You try seeing what I see and you call it a gift.
I'm just saying, maybe it is. And I'm done letting you tell our daughter that
She's sick. She's got some mental disorder. I love you. I do. But...
He displays pills.
I won't let Heidi live like this. You understand me? I won't do it.
Andy, please.
Look, I've seen enough to know that it ain't up here.
He taps her head.
It's out there. Maybe it's trying to tell us something. Maybe you should try listening.
Her jaw drops and she storms away. In the morning, Joyce sits beside Heidi in the yard.
You sure gonna be lonely here without you guys?
You should leave too. This is a bad place.
No, sweetie, it was a bad place. Now it's not. Because of you. I'm gonna miss you, baby girl.
Gonna miss you too.
Joyce hugs Heidi and the sun sets in time lapse. July 27th, 1993. Lisa carries a box down the porch steps and hands it to Andy with a dismayed look. She heads back inside. Heidi waves at Andy from the car. As Joyce takes laundry from the clothesline, the RV door wavers. Joyce takes down the last piece of laundry and puts it in the basket. With a toothbrush in her mouth, she looks to the shadowy woods.
Hey, Chief!
Come on, buddy.
Good boy. Good boy.
Heidi sees Mr. Gordy in front of the pickup. Chief barks at him.
Hey, Chief!
Heidi follows Gordy's sightline to the RV.
Chief! Hey!
Chief runs.
Where the hell's that damn dog going?
Daddy, I need to leave. Right now.
Without your mama?
Yeah, I'm not sure how she'd take that.
It's all right. Let me go find Chief. Be right back. Stay here and lock the door.
Chief!
Gordy looks at Heidi, then disappears. She locks the doors. Lisa packs dishes in the kitchen.
Chief!
The truck radio turns on. In the RV, Joyce brushes her teeth. The door swings open and Joyce looks through it.
Lisa? Hello?
Nell stares at her from beyond the clothesline. Joyce grabs scissors and advances. Levi stands near Nell watching Joyce. As she steps out of the RV, the area glows with amber light.
Why are you here?
Their gazes whip left. Joyce looks and sees the wooded area the creature emerged from in Lisa's dream. She steps toward it slowly. The creature's robed silhouette emerges. She sees it walking toward the pickup. The creature stops and turns toward Joyce. She retreats to the RV as it walks toward her. She struggles to shut the door as the monster nears. Inside, she clutches the scissors. The RV shakes. A lamp falls and Joyce scrambles for a phone. The RV shakes again and she drops the phone. She grabs the receiver from the floor and dials. She puts the phone to her ear as the creature passes the window. In the kitchen, Lisa reaches for a phone. She packs it into a box. Joyce lets the phone slip from her grasp, fixated on the window. Heidi cowers in the truck. Lisa packs before the window above the sink. Joyce creeps to the window in the RV's door and peers through. The creature emerges. Joyce doubles over, vomiting. The view flashes amber and clouds cover the moon. Joyce pulls a taxidermy needle from her mouth, a thread stretching from her throat. In flashback, the station master stitches up a raccoon. Joyce continues to pull the lengthening thread from her mouth as the station master sews the raccoon. The creature tilts its head, eyes fixed on her. Joyce lifts her shirt and sutures stitch up her stomach. The creature leaves the window. Heidi looks around. She turns knobs on the radio to no effect. She moves to the driver's seat and flips switches. The wipers start. She starts the blinkers. The wipers stop. The creature approaches the passenger door. The radio goes dead. Heidi turns to the passenger window. The creature roars and Heidi scrambles backward across the seat. The pantry door drifts open in the kitchen. She walks to it and finds the hole boarded up. She turns to find herself face to face with the conductor's ghost. He points to the house's front and wails. She runs to the pickup's broken window and finds sawdust and bugs in the passenger seat. She runs to the RV.
Heidi! Heidi!
Using a flashlight, Andy finds Heidi's sneaker in the dirt, covered in mud. He picks it up.
Damn it!
He throws it down and rushes to the driver's seat. He drives the truck around the house. Lisa runs toward the RV. Andy drives into the field. Clouds obscure the moon as he races toward the tree line. She pounds on the door of the RV and yanks on it. The highlight woman appears in front of him and he crashes. Blood drips from Andy's brow.
Joyce! Let me in!
Joyce's eyes stare.
Joyce!
As Andy staggers out of the truck, clouds obscure the moon.
Joyce!
She enters the RV and finds Joyce bent backward, her mouth connected to the ceiling by numerous strands of taxidermy thread. The creature looms outside the RV.
Oh my God.
She approaches Joyce. The room shakes and the door window shatters. The creature looks through it. The creature strides toward the RV. Lisa grabs the scissors off the floor as the creature approaches the open door. Her shaking hand brings the scissors toward the threads. The needles strain in the ceiling. The creature nears the door. More sutures thread through Joyce's chest. The creature approaches Lisa from behind as the sutures enter Joyce's face. Lisa cuts the threads. Joyce coughs sawdust, the moon uncovers, and the creature recedes.
Joyce! Joyce, please. Hattie's been taken. Where is she? Joyce! With him? Who's him? Joyce, who's him?
A figure appears behind her. Joyce turns into a rotten corpse.
No. No.
She takes out pills.
Lisa. Don't.
Joyce takes the pills.
Where's my little girl?
They know.
Who's they, Joyce? Tell me. Who's they?
Joyce looks behind Lisa, who follows her gaze to find Nell and Levi.
Go.
Lisa stands and faces the ghosts who look out the door. She walks outside. The group of slaves, one holding a shotgun, stands before her, headed by the conductor. The group steps to one side as the conductor leads Lisa. Each member looks at her. A heavy-set man in suspenders. A man with a bindle. A hard-nosed man with a mustache. A thin woman. The highlight woman. A short-haired woman. Lisa enters the woods and finds Nell, Levi, and the conductor around the lantern. She rushes to pick it up. She follows the three ghosts deeper into the misty forest. The swing sways under the willow. Police tape attached to the station house blows as Lisa approaches. The ghosts appear before the station house. She walks past them and enters. A vision shows her the room as it once was, a workshop filled with tools and a raging fireplace. She approaches the hole and calls down.
Hattie! Hattie!
The conductor watches as Lisa climbs down a modern metal ladder into the hole. She steps off the last rung.
Hattie!
She collapses. She looks around the small empty chamber. Flashback.
It's a trap. The animals can get in. Can't get back out. They get weak and starve. Easy pickings.
She sees Nell and Levi scrawl on the wall and approaches, in a heart, Nell and Levi, 1858. She runs a hand over the words.
Then you get back, then you get back out. Through here. Back door.
She looks across the room. Nell and Levi's ghosts sit propped against a wall. Nell looks at her. She approaches the slatted board wall. She pulls a loose board, then sets the lantern down. She rips boards off, kicks, and smashes the false wall. Inside, she finds a taxidermy wolf head above a door painted with blood. She tries the locked door. She kicks it in and covers her nose and mouth as a draft escapes.
Oh God. Oh.
She crawls inside. She sees taxidermied boars. Lit lanterns line a dark passage.
Honey, baby? Are you in here?
She creeps down it past preserved animals. A bird with two snake heads. A gator. A half cat, half deer. She passes a wolf's body with a gator head and tail, the gator's skin fashioned into wings. A preserved bat creature looms overhead. She bumps a deer head and falls, smashing the lantern and igniting the straw floor. She backs away from the blaze into a soldier's preserved body. She turns and looks at the corpse. It falls on her. She pushes it off and stands, holding its musket like a club. She sees a taxidermy workstation with a variety of sharp tools.
You remember Pastor Wells talking about the station master? Well, back when he owned all this land, he was also what's called a taxidermist.
She sees the man with the bindle's taxidermy corpse. The station master pours sawdust in a raccoon. She sees the thin woman's preserved corpse. The station master sews. She finds the woman with short hair's body. Sutures spread through Joyce's body and come out of her mouth. She finds Nell and Levi preserved, holding one another. She has a vision of them snuggling and smiling. She sees the conductor, preserved, pointing, and remembers him in the kitchen.
Heidi!
She finds Heidi strapped spread eagle on a table.
Heidi, are you okay? Are you okay? I'm here. It's okay, just focus on me. I'm gonna get you out of here.
Outside, the creature walks by some trees in silhouette. Lisa unstraps Heidi. The fire grows. The station master saw lies on a nearby table.
Okay, hold on to me, hold on.
Lisa lifts Heidi. The creature walks through the forest. Heidi rushes to the passage and finds it engulfed in flames. She searches the room, her gaze landing on corpses. She steps into a vertical shaft of light, then sees the moon through a hole in the ceiling. She remembers Andy stepping into the ground.
Can you stand up? Okay, careful. Okay, head down.
She widens the hole with the musket.
Okay, it's gonna be okay. Okay, hold on right there. Okay? You can do it!
As she lifts Heidi to the opening, she sees the creature coming down the passage. It holds the station master's saw. It peers at her through a shelf, then disappears. Something pulls Heidi through the hole.
Heidi! Andy!
Lisa climbs up. The creature grabs her legs and pulls her down. Lights flicker around the room and go out. Clouds cover the moon, shrouding the chamber in complete darkness. The lantern flames light intermittently as Lisa hefts the musket. The creature glides through the darkness, stalking her. It appears right in front of her. She looks it in the face as it raises the saw to her neck. Bile drips from its maw. A spider crawls out and up his face.
Lisa. Listen to me, Lisa.
Mama.
You have to let them in.
You don't listen.
Do you ever think that maybe Joyce was right? Maybe this isn't a disease, but maybe it's a gift.
Those people in that chamber wanted to be found. That's what this has all been about. Now they're free. Now they're free. Because of you.
If these pills ain't working, you sure as hell shouldn't keep paying for them.
They're working. It just gets a little tricky when they wear off, is all.
Moonlight shines down onto the conductor's point hand. The taxidermy corpses begin to animate.
Let them in.
Lisa screws her eyes shut. Cut to black. In a vision, the station master leads the freed slaves from the Willow. Nell, Levi, the conductor, and the woman and child huddle in the chamber. The woman and child climb the rope ladder out of the chamber. The station master stands beside it.
I'll be back for you.
The refugees look up the shaft as the station master stashes the rope ladder. The taxidermy corpses revitalize.
You know very well that the station master was a good man.
No, he wasn't.
He slides the slab over the opening. In the chamber, Nell, Levi, and the conductor stand before Lisa.
I love you, Lisa.
Her mother disappears, and the creature appears. In the past, the station master sees the refugees' ghosts in his workshop.
Nell and Levi never arrived. No one knows what happened to them.
The couple's taxidermy corpses flash. In his workshop, the station master blinks uncertainly. The ghosts close in around Lisa and the creature. The station master leaves the station house, finding himself surrounded by men in white hoods holding torches. Lisa faces the creature with determination as the ghosts close in. A member of the mob holds a burlap sack. The creature turns to the ghosts. The ghosts appear in place of the mob. They toss the sack at the station master's feet. Lisa climbs to the ceiling hole. The station master dons the hood. The creature roars at the ghosts. Lisa reaches the surface. A mob member bashes the station master to the dirt. The creature falls before the ghosts and they swarm it. The mob stuffs the station master with sawdust. Lisa looks back. The creature disintegrates as the ghosts swarm it. she watches as it whirls into nothing and the lamps in the chamber go out. Lisa is pulled up rapidly through the hole and it closes up behind her. They embrace.
Where's your daddy? Who pulled me out?
Heidi looks and Lisa follows her gaze. In black and white, Mr. Gordy's ghost turns and looks at them. Now in color, he remains.
Heidi!
Daddy!
Oh, thank God. Thank God. You all right?
Andy hugs his family as they continue to stare in Gordy's direction. He follows their gaze but can't see anything.
Mr. Gordy.
Lisa nods slightly. Gordy and Heidi share a smile. The family huddles under the willow. 2 weeks later, daylight shines through the willow branches. Andy looks up at a tire swing's tire stuck in a branch.
God damn it.
You know the tire's supposed to go below the branch, right?
You know what? Shh. I don't want to hear it.
No, it's all right, Annie. Heidi's gonna love it. Every girl wants her own dirty rubber nest up a tree.
Lisa smiles from the porch.
Nobody likes you.
Chief sits on the porch.
This ain't over.
He points to the tire. Heidi walks her bike to the driveway.
Do you think Mr. Gordy knew what his granddaddy did?
Probably why he didn't want anybody on his property. He wanted the station master to be remembered for the people that he saved, not the ones he kept.
I keep thinking about Mama Kay's family.
They are in a better place. That much I do know.
Heidi struggles to get moving. Nell's doll lies in the bike's basket. The bike rights itself. Mr. Gordy holds it up and Heidi puts her feet on the pedals. She turns and looks at the kindly old man. He nods, then she does too. He pushes the bike and she pedals down the driveway. As she rolls along, she sees Nell and Levi running through the field. She stops and smiles, watching Nell, Levi, and the conductor disappear into the ether as they walk toward the forest. She looks up the driveway and smiles at Mr. Gordy. He waves and she waves back. He turns and walks up the driveway, fading away as she watches. The image freezes on Heidi, smiling after him. Text appears. The Weirich family remained in the Gordy house for another 5 years. Lisa's visions ended and have not returned. Heidi never saw Mr. Gordy again. A photo of the real-life Heidi appears alongside a portrait photo of the real-life Mr. Gordy. The swing sways in the woods. 4 brunette women and a man in camo pose in the woods. The real-life Lisa, Andy, Heidi, Joyce, and Jordan, born later. The photo fades to black and white. Cut to black. Credits appear. Directed by Tom Elkins. written by David Coggeshall. Produced by Paul Brooks. Produced by Scott Niemeyer. Executive producers Joe McCarthy, Leon Clarence, Norm Waite. Co-producers Brad Kessel, Jeff Levine. Director of photography Yaron Levy. Art director Jeremy Woolsey. Edited by Tom Elkins, Elliot Greenberg. Costume designer Dana Marie Embry. Co-costume designer Jennifer Kamrath. Music composed by Michael Wandmacher. Casting by Aide Belasco, CSA. The Haunting in Connecticut 2, Ghosts of Georgia. Abigail Spencer. Chad Michael Murray. Katie Sackhoff. Emily Allen Lind. And Cicely Tyson. Credits continue. Audio description created by Zoo Digital, written by John Gray, and narrated by Tansy Alexander.
Gonna be alright.
met you.